During the George Floyd riots, Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey abandoned the city's third precinct, surrendering it to rioters who then set fire to it.
The mayor defends abandoning the third precinct.
If we were to continue to attempt to hold the first third precinct, very likely there would have been hand-to-hand combat, likely serious injury, and maybe death.
After the George Floyd riots, Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey was in the spotlight to defund the police.
Majority of Minneapolis's city council is pledging to defund or dismantle the police department following the death of George Floyd. However, the city's mayor, Jacob Frey, opposes that. Protesters chanted, "Go home, Jacob," over the weekend after he said he does not support dismantling the department. When you campaigned on reform, that's part of how you got elected. You have reformed the body cam policy. You have banned warrior training, but we still have the George Floyd incident. Is reform enough?
I don't want to comment on precisely what the council meant by disbanding or ending the police force. I think there's varying opinions. But what I'm saying is, look, I'm not for abolishing, but deep structural reform, absolutely, we have to make it happen.
To reform the police, they decided to replace SWAT teams with social workers. Governor Tim Walz gave it his stamp of approval while admitting they don't have the staff to do it.
This idea of violence interveners and problem solvers or social workers pairing with police to respond to some mental health calls, many of those are domestic situations that escalate very quickly and turn violent. How realistic is it to have a social worker respond with a police officer in real time? I'm just curious, would it almost require a separate force of social workers and violence interveners to respond to these calls? And how would that work in practice?
Well, here's what I would tell you is when it comes to social workers, I've been talking about this forever. I think we talk about Minnesota, and I oftentimes point the rosy picture of where we rank on certain things. You've heard me say this as a teacher, we rank last on school counselors and social workers. So one of the things is of trying to find those people, trying to have them out there and trying to have them integrated into real life.
Last week on Wednesday, October 23rd, 2024, Davis Maturi was doing yard work outside his South Minneapolis home when his neighbor shot him.
Surveillance video obtained by NBC Minneapolis affiliate Care 11 shows the moment Maturi fell to the ground.
His neighbor, John Sawchak, was then charged with second-degree attempted murder, first-degree assault, and stalking and harassment because Maturi has been reporting him to the police for over a year.
According to court documents, Maturi had called police on Sawchak 19 times in the last year, alleging his neighbor had threatened to kill him and his wife, brandished a knife at them, and hurled racial slurs.
Maturi was told by a female police commander that her officers were frightened of Sawchak, and she didn't want to put them at risk. After shooting his neighbor, Sawchak was not arrested. They sent social workers and psychologists to try and de-escalate the situation. And after days of this, Frey and O'Hara had a press conference to complain about the public's outrage.
To that victim, I say I am sorry that this happened to you. But it could not be anything further from the truth to say that we did nothing or that we just simply don't care. That's not true. Everything that we do is impacted by the reality that the police department is much smaller today than what it was prior to 2020, and we are dealing with a much higher call load. We cannot, as a community, on one hand say, hey, we want cops to use less force. We want less SWAT teams. We want more de-escalation. And then when we actually do that, say, how come the cops didn't use the SWAT team right away? We have been there 24/7 the last few days. We have been using our behavioral threat assessment team. We have used a psychiatrist. We have spoken to this individual's family. We have made dozens of attempts to contact this person. But again, to say that we simply don't care or we did nothing is simply not true.
This feels a whole lot more like politics than it does like somebody that's trying to find a solution. We're about trying to find a solution right now. Again, less politics. That kind of thing is gross.
Hours after this press conference, Sawchak was finally arrested and taken into custody.
If you're saying you're scared.
The lesson I want you to learn is it doesn't matter what you look like. You can be tall or short, or fat or thin, or ugly, or handsome, like your father. You can be black or yellow or white. It doesn't matter. What does matter is the size of your heart and the strength of your character.
Infowars.com.
I represent science.
A bioterrorist attack is the
nightmare scenario.
You will eat the bugs.
Destroy the child.
It's Wednesday, October 30th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live from Austin, Texas this morning. And boy, do we have a big show. We are less than a week away from the election, and the cheat is on. The manipulation has commenced, and we have a lot of videos to go to today showing exactly how that's happening and various methods of voter suppression taking place across the country. We will touch on that as well as other controversies. It's election news today. So let's just get right into it. Here it is, your Daily Dispatch. Here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Wednesday, the 30th of October, 2024. Biden sets off election firestorm with garbage comment. President Biden handed ammo to gleeful Republicans Tuesday when he seemed to refer to former President Trump supporters as garbage. Okay, even the way they phrase this, Biden handed ammo to gleeful Republicans. Well, he called Republicans garbage. That's the headline. It's not bad for Republicans to seize on this. It's not being done in a dishonest way. There's no ulterior motive here. He called Republicans garbage. And maybe you should just report on that. On this call, he was doing a call with a group called Voto Latino. And on the call, Biden said, quote, "The only garbage I see out there is his supporters. His demonization of Latinos is unconscionable and it's un-American." Couple interesting things about this that we'll get to in a little bit. Let's do the Daily Dispatch and we'll get to it. Suffice it to say, I'm going to have to explain what a joke is, I guess. I guess I have to explain what a joke is to Democrats. It's the only example I can think of is, we'll get back to it. Yes, they told a joke where the punchline was that Puerto Rico is a garbage place. And then their response is just like, well, we think you're garbage and should die. It's like, all right. What we said was a joke. It was a little bit clever. It was supposed to be funny. You just called everybody garbage in a very serious way. So we'll get to that. Also know that I couldn't find this story on any mainstream news site. Nobody is covering it. We've had several days of outraged coverage of a joke a comedian made. But when the president of the United States calls half of the country literal garbage, not a peep from the mainstream media. That should tell you everything you need to know about whether they actually care about this sort of stuff. Meanwhile, Colorado Secretary of State posted voting system passwords online. The Colorado Secretary of State's office inadvertently, quote unquote, posted a spreadsheet to its website with a hidden tab that included voting system passwords. In a statement to Nine News, a spokesperson for the Colorado Secretary of State's office said that the department is working to remedy the situation where necessary. And again, we're in the realm of, are they stupid or evil? To which the answer is, it doesn't matter. The outcome is the same. We'll get back into that as well. Kamala Harris, meanwhile, gave her closing argument speech at the Ellipse in Washington, D.C., offering a different path than Trump. Nobody cared. Nobody watched it. Wasn't actually something anybody paid attention to. There was a sizable crowd there for the first time in her candidacy. Kamala Harris has found an area of the country that she doesn't need to trick people by pretending to throw a free Beyonce concert or Taylor Swift concert to get people to show up for her. Yeah, it's Washington, D.C., the heart of the beast. Yes, and we actually have videos of that. And you can see it's a pretty big crowd of parasites, of literal blood-sucking parasites who are there to support the one person that will uphold their criminal regime that they all rely on. Meanwhile, no new limits on Ukraine's use of U.S. weapons if North Korea enters fight, Pentagon says. So, yes, we're driving headlong towards World War III in that arena. Ukraine would not see any new regulations on the use of U.S. weapons against North Korean forces should they enter the fight against Ukrainian forces, the Pentagon said on Monday. As it is estimated, 10,000 North Korean troops have been deployed to eastern Russia for training, making it a real third world war. And finally, we have this bus of non-English speaking citizens fast-tracked to the front of the line to vote as Republicans surge in early voting in traditional blue states. Alex Jones broke this down. We have the footage. I believe we've been able to pull that in. Bus of non-English speaking citizens, quote unquote, fast-tracked to the front of the line. And this is just one story I chose out of a myriad of stories and videos that will show you of the way that the vote is being rigged in a very real way, including in places like Pennsylvania, shutting down the polls midday, despite the fact that the governor gave an order and stated publicly that that would be open into the evening. We'll have to get that video in. It's on Alex Jones's Twitter, the bus of non-English speaking citizens being bussed to the front of the line. For some reason. For some reason, they're allowed to do that. And it really becomes obvious how devious these schemes are and how well organized the Democrat machine is. I mean, it really is amazing. Are any of the videos working? Okay. Because we got a lot of clips of this. We'll go to clip number two here. This is another example, again, this time in Pennsylvania, Quakertown, where they've got the cops turning people away from voting at 1:45 in the afternoon, despite the fact that it's supposed to be open till 4. This is actual voter suppression going on. All of the crying and whining about voter ID being some very obscure, vague form of voter suppression, as if 99.9% of Americans don't have voter ID. I swear it's got to be deliberate. The sophistication to which they're able to distract with one hand while screwing you over with the other. They're like extremely talented magicians. They've got you all arguing about voter suppression, about voter ID laws, and just tearing our hair out and our minds melting, trying to explain why it's not a secret KKK, Jim Crow, backstab, voter suppression, racist agenda to want voter ID, obviously. But they have us running around trying to make that argument while simultaneously they're working on making every ballot take 20 minutes to fill out in an effort to diminish in-day voting and stop people from actually being able to have the time to go to the polls. Not everybody has 3 hours to stand in line. Not everybody has a ride. So you take a ride to the polling place when legally and announced you're supposed to be allowed to vote, only for them to have shut down the polls 4 hours early. Let's go to this video, because again, this is just one of dozens of videos coming out right now showing the very widespread corruption taking place and the number of governmental and voluntary organizations conspiring in this. Let's go to clip two.
I have a question. I have to bring someone here about 4 o'clock to vote. Are they going
to ask you to talk to this?
Are they going to turn everyone down?
I'm going to ask you to talk to this gentleman because the voting is closed right now.
It's closed.
I just want you to talk to this gentleman.
We have the right to vote until 4:30.
I got you.
Why is it closed?
Let me explain it to you.
Please.
Okay. This process is very slow and grueling.
That doesn't matter if we're online.
Very slow and grueling.
It doesn't matter if we're online by 4:30. We have the right to vote.
The reason why it had to close was because a high volume of people wanted to do this. Slow and grueling.
Well, then they have to wait till everyone's.
They had to cut the line at 1:45.
Right, let's
they cut the line
quick.
At 1:45.
1:45.
They shut the line at 1:45. Oh, this is a long and grueling process. See, we made this process long and grueling, so now you can't vote. So that's just how it works now, yeah. Yeah, we made the ballot 75 pages long, and we got our guys in there, the volunteers, checking the ID, and they are going so slow. I mean, they could go faster, but this is all kind of part of the plan, you got to understand. We make it slow and grueling, and now we have the excuse to shut down voting at 1:45 rather than 4 o'clock because of how slow and grueling it is. That's not an excuse. No. If the process is slow and grueling, you do things to speed up the process. You don't say, we've made this so slow and grueling. Our interventions, our bureaucracy, our system that we set up is so badly designed, so poorly designed, so crappy and slow and infuriating that we're just not going to let you vote anymore. Actually, we're just going to go ahead and cut it off at 1:45 with, I guess, the assumption that the line that's there at 1:45 will take 3 hours to finish. 2 hours and 15 minutes to finish voting, that one line that's there at 1:45. I would assume that's why they're saying it. But no, the law is, and it was announced, it's supposed to be open until 4:30. So this is what I mean by like how they're so sophisticated, how they're so capable. I don't know how you get a cop to go around and break the law. They're incredibly talented at this. I don't know in what tone of voice they give these orders, if they're Bene Gesserit witches and are just like hypnotizing these people. But because I don't understand it, maybe we can try it. Can we go up to cops and just tell them to break the law? And they're just like, okay, I'll go explain this then. Okay, I'll go shut down the voting line 3 hours before I'm supposed to because you told me to. Thanks. Who told this guy to do this and why is he doing it? It's not legal. This is breaking the law. It's supposed to be until 4:30 in the afternoon. It was an order by the governor. That is the law. So who is it that's making the decision that that's not the law anymore? It's not the governor. Just some Democrat operative at this polling place who the police just listened to for some reason. I don't get it. I don't get how do you get the cop to go? I mean, the cop's answer should just be like, no, it says 4:30 here. But we really would love, it's so slow and grueling. Go tell them it's slow and grueling and that we have to stop at 1:45. And it should just be like, no, it's open till 4:30 actually. But they get the cop to go along with it. I don't know how, but he's actually there making the argument and interfacing with the public, shutting down the line at 1:45. So let's go back to the video. This is illegal. They're breaking the law in a blatant attempt to stop people from voting. This is voter suppression on display on video, admittedly. Let's watch.
That everyone, they cut the line at 1:45. This is voter fraud, by the way. Voter protection. I heard about that on X. Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Contact
voter protection. Let's see what
contact
that's from.
The county commissioners to complain.
This is, and so you don't think this is voter fraud? This is voter fraud. See that, everyone? They cut the line, even though we have till 4:30. Election fraud here in Bucks County. And you have an oath. I mean, don't you care? I mean, like, really? This is ridiculous.
And seriously, why doesn't he? It's just the cop just staying there looking at his phone. Why is he shutting it down?
They're not accepting anyone else.
Oh, did they cut off for the day?
They cut it off because of election fraud. That's why they cut it off.
That's incorrect. It's actually posted online that they can cut it off.
No, it's election fraud.
It's not.
It's election fraud. What are you voting for the left? It's election fraud. They're open till 4:30. Everyone in line has the right to vote until 4:30.
On election day.
No, this is election day.
No.
I got it videotaped.
This is ridiculous. I just got a video.
course, the leftists being prevented from voting and just being like, good. Good, they're allowed to do that. The governor gave an order. Every polling place is supposed to stay open until 4:30. They cut off the line at 1:45. Looks like there's about 30 people in line. It's going to take 3 hours for those 30 people, or two hours, 15 minutes for those 30 people to go through. If so, that's like a crime. That's like an actual crime. You're asking like 80-year-old ladies to stand for 3 hours to vote. It's on purpose. It's obviously on purpose. And again, just the variety of ways in which they just do whatever they want. And it's like, why is that cop shutting it down at 1:30? Who gave him that order? Why do they have the authority to just arbitrarily decide 3 hours before the cutoff that they're not taking anymore? Why? Why, who, how, just what, why is, how is this happening? Let's go now to clip number 16. This is the bus of non-English speaking citizens just cutting the line in front of everybody because rules don't apply to Democrats. Let's watch. You see a bunch of people waiting in line. Shock video. Buses of non-English speaking citizens fast-tracked ahead of Americans waiting in line for hours to vote early. So you have this massive line going out the door of American citizens waiting to go vote. And then just a bus full of people that don't speak English. Who just cut them all. Just get right to the front of the line. Come on in. No need for you to wait. You're not an American. You're not a second-class citizen. It's just wild. It really is wild how widespread this is and how blatant it all is. So we'll show you some more videos of that later. And of course, we'll get into all the other just strange things going on, like the Colorado Secretary of State posting the passwords to the voting system online. It really is just, it really is wild. It really is wild. Let's go. Can we go to clip number 18 here? Because this is, it's one of these amazing things that happens all the time. Leftist Democrats, like, it must be nice. It must be really nice. They go viral. They have clips with millions upon millions of views for saying the most obvious stuff. It truly is crazy that the left is so brainwashed, so disconnected with reality. It's assumed that they're going to believe the craziest nonsense. And when they don't, it's like a miracle. People are like so proud of them for just saying the simplest stuff. Bill Maher is like the number one example of this. Where for decades, all of his beliefs and all of their beliefs have been so just completely insane that when they're just like, you know, maybe it's not good that we castrate children who have a mental illness. And everybody's like, look, he's based now. No, look, he's based. He's waking up. He's broken free of the conditioning. He said something that, like, just everybody knows. It's wild how often this happens. And it's just, it's really a condemnation of their entire worldview that, again, saying just the sky is blue and they're treated like geniuses. They're treated like Albert Einstein himself. They figured out that if your political party constantly demonizes a group of people explicitly in the worst way possible, those people don't want to vote for you anymore. This is the incredible conclusion. That is now, it's so rare and unique that such a statement of common sense would come from the mouth of a leftist. This has gone totally viral. It's Van Jones in clip 18. Let's watch this miracle unfold.
If progressives have a politics that says all white people are racist, all men are toxic, and all billionaires are evil, it's kind of hard to keep them on your side. And so we might want to think about If you're chasing people out of the party, you can't be mad when they leave. And maybe at a different politics, we actually said dignity for everybody, everybody's respected, and we need you, more people might stay.
Incredible. How did he do it? How did he come up with that? They'd never thought of this before. They never thought of this. If your entire political worldview and your entire system spends all of its time calling white people racist and men toxic, they might not want to support you. What? You're telling me this for the first time. I had no idea. That clip literally went viral. It's got like millions of views. People are shocked that somebody would say, like Van Jones would say something so incredibly true. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. It's like we're living in a bizarro world, 1935 Nazi Germany, and the Nazis are baffled that the Jews aren't voting for them. And they're like, what's in say? What? Why aren't these Jews voting for us? It's like, well, you make a central point of every speech you give to demonize them for everything. You pretty clearly despise them with every fiber of your being. You cover up crimes against them. You encourage violence against them. You are setting up educational programs with the specific intent of driving their own children away from them by demonizing your ancestors. They're tearing the statues down of the heroes. What? Why would they vote for you exactly? Like, it's really the craziest part about all of it is that any white person or man is voting for them. That's the craziest thing. That is the real bizarro world that we live in. Not only do we live in a bizarro, you know, 1930s Germany where the Nazi party is trying to figure out why the Jews aren't voting for them, but half of the Jews are voting for them. Like, we live in a bizarro world where like half of the Jews are voting for the Nazi party. What? Why? But why is that? Why do you vote for a party whose primary purpose of existence at this point is to destroy everything that you are and everything your family is and everything that your ancestors built? That is what they say. That's what they want. That is their pitch. And you think it makes you a good person to vote for them? It makes you the lowest traitor in hell. Wild. It's just wild. I'm just jealous. I'm just jealous of these people who have media careers for 30 years and get to go viral by saying, you know, maybe if Democrats didn't spend every waking moment insulting and demonizing white men might like them more. Oh, what? Oh, you're a genius. You're fired from CNN. You're so smart. You're going to go viral on X, but also you're banned. You're blacklisted. How dare you? How dare you point out an obvious flaw in our hateful bile we call a political policy? We'll be right back.
They're coming after everybody. They're coming after Trump. They're coming after Kennedy. We need your support, and you don't even come here and do this.
Alex, first of all, I want to thank you. Give to Alex Jones. I don't want this guy to have to be like wearing a symbol, and we're all going to say, you know, the truth teller formerly known as Alex Jones. Let's not let that happen.
But, oh, they're trying to make an example out of me. I'm not that important, but I've become a rallying point. I've become like a Roman standard they want to capture. Explain that. You're...
Look, I mean, if we don't have the freedom of speech, if you don't have the First Amendment, if, you know, media, which is, look, it never said only newspapers or the media. It was anyone that wants to challenge government, anyone that's willing to, you know, put the feet to the fire of corporate interests of your government, that is supposed to be free.
Electronic soapbox.
In the end, if you lose, Alex, we all lose. We will all lose the ability to do tough stories, to take risks, to plant flags where we think there's an issue. Sometime we'll will get it wrong. I said it before, you do a daily show, it's impossible to nail that to the wall. I do a weekly show, I spend more time vetting it. They're two different animals. They can't be compared to each
other. They also take stuff out of context and exaggerate.
Absolutely, that's true. You know, one of the things that makes you so spectacular, Alex, is long before any of us were here, you were starting to talk about this deep state. You were talking about this, you know, a government that was supposed to be of, for, and by the people, that was being robbed from us by corporate interests, by special interests, by globalists, long before anybody else ever did. And to imagine you sitting here in this moment, we are in that impactful moment. And in many ways, not enough people are listening to you. And I want to say that, you know, I think the vaccine, and we've talked about this before, that was the tip of the spear of the final death blow, which was, if we can inject you and own your bodies and own the bodies of your children and pass laws that say that, you know, because of vaccinations, we've decided that we own your children. We make your decision.
That's a revolutionary takeover.
It was a revolutionary takeover. And so people like me got alarmed by that, and we joined forces with people like you that have been really talking about it for a long time. But I would say that we are at the very last stage. I was just speaking publicly, and this woman said, if things don't happen that fast, Dale, you're being really dramatic. I don't think this election matters that much. I was like, that's because you're looking at this over the last year or maybe 2 years. There's people like Bobby that's been fighting the corporate establishment for 40 years as a lawyer, that watched his father when he was 13 years old be killed for exactly this battle.
And his
exactly
uncle.
This fight, and his uncle when he was 10 years old. So depending on what window you look at this, we're really at the end stage of a takeover and destruction of the one thing that stands in the way of globalist thinking, which is the Constitution of the United States of America.
They're doing all these lawsuits trying to take my name. People say they can't do that. Well, I got to defend those. We're going to win. We're already winning. The judge shut them down last week. That took high-powered lawyers and that, you know, 50 grand right there to have those briefs ready, okay? This is total war. We make it easy. Great supplements, great t-shirts, great everything. Go to the alexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP member. You get $40 free a month. For $30, you make $10 on that. It reminds you to go back to the store. Incredible supplements, the ultimate CMOS, superfood. It's all there at the Alex Jones Store, thealexjonesstore.com. My dad's great supplement company, drjonesnaturals.com. That's how we're funding this operation. Separate from InfoWars, you go there, you get t-shirts, you get ball caps, you spread the word, you meet like-minded people, you're a walking billboard for freedom, it's a great adventure, and you know you're funding our operation. We need funds, and I'll go on the offense and just hope the money comes in, but we're going on the offense. We caught them, we got the documents, I told you I'll sue the CIA and FBI. Get ready, first steps start this week, and the enemy already knows, so but I need money to do it. And look, I don't even think about my life or any of that. That doesn't matter. I'm on this mission, I love it, this is great. But I need funds to fight a war. TheAlexJonesStore.com, DrJonesNaturals.com. Those are the coordinates of the resistance. It's all there, and it's great products at great prices, highest quality, and it funds the fight against the New World Order that's coming down on us with both damn feet. But at least we're in the fight, and we're starting to win.
Watchdog and America's voice. You're on the American Journal.
Welcome back, folks. Late hour, the Democrats are finally realizing your entire political agenda is based on hating people. Those people probably won't vote for you. This is shocking news to them. And again, one of the biggest stories, what should be one of the biggest stories in the nation today, is getting no attention on mainstream news. Go to the Google News homepage, you will not find it. Go to CNN, it's not being reported. When it is being reported in places like Axios, even they are framing it as if, you know, the bad part of Joe Biden calling half of American citizens garbage people, is that it gives ammo to the Trump campaign, and that's the real sin. I'm going to try here to explain to leftist liberals, Democrats, what a joke is, how it's formatted, why we humans find it funny. And why that's different than a serious statement made
in total sincerity. See, a joke has a twist. A joke has something unexpected in it. A joke is when somebody is leading you one way, only to then jerk you back the other. See, the joke that the comedian told, the roast comedian, the guy whose job it is to tell jokes, he told one that starts off with a premise about a floating garbage island. Now, when you hear there's a floating garbage island in the ocean, your mind conjures up the real floating garbage island in the Pacific, the thousands of tons of plastic waste that is gathered and creates, for all intents and purposes, a giant island in the Pacific. So that's what you think he's talking about. But then he says, actually, I'm talking about Puerto Rico. And see, that's the joke. That's the funny part. That's the twist. Was it a particularly clever joke? Not really. Sort of an old meme repurposed to call Puerto Rico a floating island of trash. Which, by the way, the only people that actually think islands float are Democrats, okay? So let's go back to the conversations about putting a base on Guam and old what's his name? Who was it? Some congressman saying, are we concerned that the island might flip over? Are we concerned it might sink if we put too much military equipment on it? And so Democrats are the only ones that actually think islands float in the first place. But see, a joke, it's intended to be funny. It's not intended to be taken seriously. It's intended to be clever. And with offensive jokes, the idea is that you can be as offensive as you want. You just have to be more funny than you are offensive. So the more offensive it is, the funnier it has to be. This joke maybe wasn't the most appropriate joke for the time and the place. I admit that, but it's been like 5 days and they're still making this like a central point of their coverage because if it wasn't this joke, it would have been something else. They're seizing on this joke and completely like extrapolating it out and telling everybody that actually this was a serious political speaker at a Trump rally stating official Trump policy and who, you know, spit on Puerto Rico and said they're all garbage people. Puerto Rico is garbage. No, it was a silly joke. It's a silly joke. And if California was an island, it would have been about California instead of Puerto Rico. That's a little bit different than Biden, who being interviewed by Voto Latino in an effort, I guess, to pander to racist Latino voters, just outright called half of the country garbage, just said the Trump supporters are garbage. There are people suggesting that this is on purpose to sink the Kamala campaign, like he's just saying something obviously horrible because he is mad that Kamala Harris was, took him out. I don't think he's that sophisticated. I don't think that's what's happening here. I think he just called the American people garbage. I was trying to think of a good example of this because I can think of things that are kind of similar. My mom always tells a story about when I was probably like 3 years old and we went to some portrait studio. You know, I was getting my portrait taken as a 3 year old and I was not having it. And the photographer lady was trying to entertain me and going, you're a big guy. You're so big. Aren't you a big boy? You can sit up. And I just looked at her and said, oh yeah, well, you're fat lady. And apparently it's very embarrassing for my mom. That's sort of the sense I get here is it's like, you hear there's a floating garbage. You hear there's an island that's all just floating garbage. Yeah, it's called Puerto Rico. No, we're kidding. They're just like, no, you're garbage. And actually, you're garbage. And you should be thrown in an incinerator like garbage. You should be buried under the ground like garbage, you garbage human. You're like, ooh, whoa, buddy. We were joking around here. We were joking around and you took it way too far, way too serious. There's a line in not It's Always Sunny, but Arrested Development. or same type of thing where they're like poking fun at Tobias. He's like, oh, yeah, well, your wife is dead. I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have said that. It's like, yeah, you took it a little too far there, bro. We were poking fun. You just sincerely called everyone in America garbage. But again, it's the mainstream media. It's the media landscape. It's the political manipulation going on. A comedian tells a joke where he says that Puerto Rico is a floating island of garbage. Ha ha. Very funny. That is a 5-day long news cycle. Everybody's commenting on it. They're crying. You got Puerto Ricans endorsing Kamala as a show of solidarity. It's just like the biggest deal ever. It's a joke. It's just a total joke. Then you've got the president of the United States of America, Joe Biden, going on live stream and with no ambiguity and in no uncertain terms, in total sincerity, is like, I look around and all I see is garbage. Those Trump supporters are garbage. Not a peep, not a word. Nobody's outraged. Nobody's insulted. There are no long op-eds about what this means, about how hurt and injured the American people are feeling. One was a joke from a comedian about an island. This is the president of the United States talking in total sincerity about the people he's supposed to represent. And yet the first is covered ad nauseum and the second not even on the top page. Okay. Glad we cleared that up. Let's watch the video of our commander-in-chief, Joseph Robinette Biden, clip number 3. Pandering to Voto Latino. And again, well, we'll get to it, but what he's... We'll watch it, and then we'll comment on what he says. Here is President of the United States, Joseph Biden.
Donald Trump has no character. He doesn't give a damn about the Latino community. He's failed businessman. He only cares about the billionaire friends he has and accumulated wealth for those at the top. He says immigrants are poisoning the blood of our country. Give me a break. He wants to do away with the birthright citizenship. Who the hell has said that in the last 100 years? And just the other day, a speaker at his rally called Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage. Well, let me tell you something. I don't know the Puerto Rican that I know, or Puerto Rico where I'm in my home state of Delaware. They're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. His demonization
seems
unconscionable, and it's un-American. It's totally contrary to everything we've done, everything we've been.
He's just obviously reading something that someone wrote to him.
It did seem like that, didn't it? That's not the Puerto Rico I'm from. That's not the Puerto Rico I grew up in. Crazy. I mean, what is there even to say? A joke about Puerto Rico being a floating island of garbage. And they say this is a quote, demonization of Latinos. Well, to be fair, if anything, it's a demonization of Puerto Ricans. Okay. Have you ever heard Latinos talk about other Latinos? All right. That was probably the nicest thing anybody's from outside of Puerto Rico has said about Puerto Rico in a very long time. By the way, isn't that guy Puerto Rican? where's that guy? Where's the comedian from? He looks kind of Puerto Rican. But anyway, I mean, it's just wild. It's just completely insane. They're just dripping with hatred for the American people. The only garbage I saw are his supporters. The White House argued that Biden was only referring to the comedian in his comment. And sent out a transcript in which Biden says the only garbage I see floating out there is his supporter with an apostrophe S. Holy crap. Do y'all see this? Y'all see what I'm saying? So Biden, again, just blatantly said the only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. And in the transcript, they put an apostrophe S on supporters. As if what Biden was saying was he sees garbage belonging to supporters floating out there. The only garbage I see floating out there belongs to his support. That's what they want you to think, Joe Biden said. Like, the dishonesty. You think you've reached the limits. You think when they come out and say the only garbage out there I see are his supporters, they would just acknowledge that at the very least. They actually provide a transcript where they've inserted an apostrophe in front of the S in supporters. As if that's what he meant. Do you feel insulted? You should feel insulted. This isn't, they're insulting all of our intelligence. It's very disrespectful to think that you can get away with this. Crazy. Asked if they had spoken to the president to ask him what he meant before sending the transcript, the Biden spokesperson requested to go off the record. Axios declined, and the White House did not respond further. After the story was published, the spokesperson told Axios that staff did speak to Biden about what he meant to inform the transcript. Axios asked for more details, and the White House declined. J.D. Vance called Biden's comments disgusting, adding that Kamala Harris and her boss Joe Biden are attacking half the country. There's no excuse for this. I hope Americans reject it. So Biden apparently responded to this saying, earlier today, I referred to the hateful rhetoric about Puerto Rico. Yes, the silly joke about Puerto Rico from the comedian spewed by Trump supporter at his Madison Square Garden is garbage, which is the only word I can think of to describe it. His demonization of Latinos is unconscionable. That's all I meant to say. You liar. You absolute despicable fraud. Insane. Insane. That, but I guess, you know, Tony Hinchcliffe has a way to do it now. That's all he has to do. He just has to come out and say, no. What I was saying is that there's an island of garbage. It's called the Pacific Garbage Patch. And then I was talking about Puerto Rico being also an island. I wasn't calling it a garbage island. Like, I guess you can just do that now. You can just say a thing and then go, I didn't say that thing. That's crazy. Who would say something like that? Earlier today, I referred to the hateful rhetoric about Puerto Rico as garbage. He's actually trying to say that when he said, and where's the exact quote here? The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. Okay, that's what he actually said. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. And then to cover this up, he says, I was referring to the hateful rhetoric as garbage. So, I mean, I guess I would ask the question why this article doesn't include a paragraph that's like, he clearly was talking about the supporters, and it's frankly insulting that he would think that he could lie to us like this. He's called for Trump to be locked up. He's called half of the United States garbage. Deplorables, whatever you want to call it. Because a comedian made a silly joke about Puerto Rico, and they're so up in arms. They will defend Puerto Rico's honor. This is the thing. It's all so fake. Like, it's so fraudulent. These dirtbags, these absolute scum of the earth. And they just put on this act. Some guy makes a joke about Puerto Rico, and they're just like, I got this, Puerto Rico. Don't worry, Puerto Rico. I will defend you. I will save you. I will uphold your honor, Puerto Rico. Nobody calls you garbage. Not in my house. They're just, these people are just scum. They're just the scummiest dirtbags you can possibly imagine. They don't care. They don't care. They couldn't care in the slightest. And I want to go to clip number four here. I think this guy talks about it a little bit, just the insult of your intelligence. But I also think it's an important message now, less than a week out, because we know there is a huge number of people out there just not voting, just not feeling like they need to or have to participate. And I don't know how you can live in America for the last 8 years and not understand what an important thing this is to go out and vote, especially if you're a Christian, especially if you are sick of watching those. And actually, all right, we'll go to this video and then I'm going to show you an excerpt from a pollster that really explains like almost everything that we're seeing here. So let's go to this video first. It's I believe it's an evangelical Christian talking about how he realized how important it is that he not sit this one out. Let's watch.
This will be the first election I'm taking off. I'm not going to vote for either one of them.
It came quite clear to me that I had made an error in judgment. I had originally decided not to vote at all. I did not care for either candidate.
Both of them are unqualified.
I was conflicted. On one hand, you had a guy that just offended the crap out of me and by his actions and his statement. But on the other side, there wasn't a modicum of substance in any of her stances that indicated to me that, yeah, I can run with that. I really felt like my intelligence was being insulted. So my defense to that was, well, I just won't have an opinion.
I'm not aware of anything that could really change my position.
I had a really serious, deep, prayerful moment where I asked for guidance. And it was within hours that I get a little string, you know, a little thread. 41 million evangelical Christians may not vote in this election. How I interpreted that piece was that, oh my gosh, you know, I have an earthly duty as to participate in the governing process. And I verbally asked myself, what do you want in a leader? Do you want someone who can stand up there and take bullets literally and still have the presence of mind and the courage to lead? And the obvious selection for who I'd vote for was Trump. Lord, it's been a strange year, hasn't it?
Yes, that was the transformation from early September to late October that one guy went through. But again, whether your topic is abortion or Israel or, you know, the medical industrial complex, all of these things Donald Trump has made, either made mistakes in or you know, probably done things that are not perfectly in line with what you would want to happen. But on every one of these things, he is so much significantly better than Kamala Harris. It's really not an excuse. And actually, on this note, it just went live, a debate I did with Michael Tracy on Zero Hedge. It's on their YouTube, and it should be up on their front page later today, where we're talking about Israel. And in that debate, Michael Tracy has kept wanting to talk about Donald Trump. And I just kept having to say, but like, this is a binary choice. You cannot like how loyal Trump is to Israel. I don't like that either. But that's not the question at debate here. The question is it better than Kamala? Which the answer is yes, Trump is better than Kamala on this. He kept saying, well, I'm just not going to vote. It's like, that's fine. Individually, you can abstain. But one of these people is going to be president, whether you like it or not. That's just how it is. We can change that. We cannot like that, but that's how it is. So you got to choose. You got to choose. And one side, and I've been in the debate, I likened it to the abortion debate, where it's like you've got people that are pro-abortion, or I'm sorry, you've got people that are pro-life. They're not voting for Donald Trump because he sort of backed off the pro-life position from federal level. And so you're going to withhold your vote for Trump you're going to give a benefit to the woman who had an abortion van behind her convention, who is going to make a federal law to allow abortion nationwide. You're going to do that? That's crazy. That is just absolutely crazy. Speaking of crazy, and this story, we'll have to probably spend some more time on the other side about it. It's from Tablet Magazine, and it's called The Democrats' Insanity Defense. Republican activists say they have to water down the reality of their opponent's agenda in focus groups because they don't believe it's true. It can't be. In the September debate between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris, Trump said something so ludicrous that many viewers must have dismissed it out of hand. Quote, She did things nobody would ever think of, Trump said, while rattling off a list of some of the vice president's most radical past positions. Now she wants to do transgender operations on illegal aliens that are in prison. The idea that the vice president wants to do transgender operations on illegal aliens that are in prison seems so patently absurd that the New Yorker's Susan Glasser cited it in a column posted the next morning as an example of Trump's lunacy. Quote, what the hell is he talking about? Glasser wrote of the trans operation lines. Nobody knows, which was, of course, exactly Harris's point. The reaction is understandable. The idea of the operation was, as Trump himself said, a thing nobody would ever think of. The problem is that it's true. CNN had reported that week that she had answered this in a ACLU questionnaire. She supported publicly funded gender-affirming care, including transition surgeries for federal prison inmates and detained illegal immigrants. So no joke, this article goes through a series of examples, and we're going to get back to this, and I'll finish up this coverage on in the first 5 minutes of the next hour. But their current positions, not even of what they want to do, but like laws that they've actually already enacted, are so crazy, so insane that the average person cannot comprehend it and instead thinks you're crazy for talking about it. And this is a phenomenon that they're finding across the country with GOP pollsters and staffers and others, where if you just talk about what the Democrats' actual policy is, people think you're crazy and a conspiracy theorist and probably dangerous in spreading misinformation. It's things like the 9-month abortion or gender transition, hiding it from the parents. The Democrat policy is so insane, people don't even believe it's their policy and are voting for them because they think people talking about the policy are dangerous conspiracy theorists. Stay with us.
Therapists in the U.S. say they are seeing increasing numbers of patients with what they call Donald Trump anxiety disorder.
Trump anxiety disorder.
Trump derangement syndrome.
Trump derangement syndrome is clinically real.
It doesn't merely affect individuals, but entire political parties, rendering them unrecognizable.
1 minute, they're perfectly normal. The next, rabid.
The veneer of civilization is evaporating quickly. Families and culture are collapsing. And godless leftists are behaving just like zombies of modern lore.
You can't trust your mother.
Get the hell out of here!
Get the fuck out of here!
Your best friend.
I get that camera out of my face.
The neighbor next door.
Psychologist Dr. Stuart Bassman says for his clients, it started the morning after the election.
Doctors are seeing patients suffering from Trump anxiety disorder.
A number of people are manifesting what I would call post-traumatic stress disorder.
An overpowering fear that President Trump represents the end of the world.
Pray it doesn't happen to you. Rabid.
White males.